Amen. We're going to read in the book of Acts chapter 4, if you want to look there with me today. The book of Acts chapter 4. Last night we had it was very vividly portrayed that one divine institution that God has established is marriage and the home. And then another divine institution is the church. The church. And that's what we're going to talk about here this morning. The blessing of the church, the blessing of the local church. And established, of course, by the Lord. The book of Acts, of course, is the story of the ascension of our Lord and then the outpouring of his Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And that outpouring of the Spirit then was the ushering in of the new age of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And amazingly, all these thousands of years later, 2,000 plus years later, the church is still alive. Amen. And it is still an important institution. I have said this a lot of time, and I really do believe that the church and the local church is the hope of the world. And without the church, you remove the church from the community, from the state, from the world, and you have nothing but chaos left when the church is removed. So the church is important, and we need to see it from God's perspective. He established it. It's a valuable, precious thing, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the world doesn't see the importance of it. The world can't comprehend that. They see it as just religion and formality, and they don't see the church of the Lord Jesus Christ the way that we see it as believers. But down through the centuries, there have been thousands of people who have suffered, many that have been martyred, all for the cause of Christ and for the survival of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they thought it was precious and valuable, and I believe that today we need to see the church from that same perspective. Amen. We're going to read in Acts 4 and verse 23. Acts chapter 4, and we'll start reading with verse number 23, if you'll look there with me. It says, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Praise God. You notice that when these early disciples faced this first persecution, and they're up against all of this pressure from the Jewish council to stop preaching in the name of Jesus, stop telling about his miracles, stop declaring the name of the Lord. This was all stirred up because on the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 that were converted. And then in the very next chapter, Acts chapter 3, there is a man that was more than 40 years old that had been laid at the temple gate all of his life. Every day he was there begging for alms just to survive. But the Bible says that when Peter and John come, they said, "We don't have any money to give to you, but what we do have, we'll give to you." And they took him by the hand and raised him up, and he was healed. And all those that were at the temple saw it. They saw him jumping and leaping and praising God because now he's able to walk, and his health and his legs are restored. And so it's an amazing miracle, and great crowds of people are drawn to the temple by that great miracle. Then when Peter sees this great crowd of people, the Bible says that he again preaches to that crowd, and as a response to his preaching, another 3,000 or another 5,000 men only are saved, and that doesn't count women and children. So you can see that things are really, really moving in the city of Jerusalem. In a matter of just a few weeks, there's at least 8,000 that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and the city is just stirring with the move of God in that city. Amen. And that got the religious leaders, the Jewish council, it got them stirred up. And they arrest them. They bring them in and they arrest them and warn them, "Don't speak in this name. Don't." And their response was a bold response on that day, speaking and saying, "We can't not but speak in his name." And but they continued to warn them. Now, this is the same Jewish council that had the power and the authority to crucify Jesus. And so they knew what they were up against. They were up against a powerful force, and they were warned and warned again, "Don't speak in his name." And so when they leave, where do they go? They go to the church. They go to their own people, the people that were believers. They go to their own. I don't know about you, but I am so thankful that down through the years, whenever I've gone through any kind of a trouble or a trial, or when I've gone through grief or whatever that it was, I could look to the people of God and I could run to the people of God, know that they were going to support me and encourage me and pray for me. And I'm so thankful for the blessing of the church, because the church supports you when you go through all kinds of situations. No matter what that it is, praise God. So the church is growing, but the church is now being threatened. And these apostles are being threatened. And so they know where their help comes from. And so they go to the church. Now, the church is really the center. It's the center, and God has established this even in the Old Testament. When the children of Israel left Egypt, and he gave to Moses, prescribed to him exactly how that they were to set up their encampment. He told them where each tribe was to set up their part of the camp, and that the tabernacle or the church in the wilderness was to be right at the center of the encampment. And the purpose of that was for the whole camp to realize that God is to be the center of everything that we're doing. Amen. Amen. He led them by a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. But when they camped at night, He made sure that the tabernacle in the wilderness was right at the center of the camp, because the people of God, the presence of God, the church is to be the center of your life. Amen. I'm thankful that when my mother got saved when I was just a little guy, a preschooler, that she was taught the value of the local church. And so she went and she took us, myself and my two brothers, to the house of the Lord. Every time the door was open, we were there in church. It wasn't a ritual. It wasn't just a routine. It was a statement of what we knew was important. It was valuable to us. We saw the church as something to be treasured and precious. And I'm so thankful that that was instilled into my life and my heart from the time that I was a young child, the value and the importance of the house of the Lord. Amen. I have to tell you that as a pastor, I get concerned. I get concerned whenever I see people treating the church as if it's not all that important. It really concerns me, because I understand I've been down this pathway a lot of years, and I have witnessed what happens in the lives of people when they begin to treat the church casually as something that's not really all that important. And as they continue in that direction, their life, their spiritual life is affected, because this is the place we run to. This is the place that we trust in, we depend upon. We don't worship a building. I'm not saying that we worship a building. I'm just saying that the church, the established church of the Lord Jesus Christ, was provided for us so that we have a place to run to go to, and that we should commit ourselves to the local church. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So sometimes you don't feel really all that like going to church, but just go ahead and come anyway. Amen. Amen. Just come. Anyway, you may have a headache, come on to church. Trust the Lord to help you when you get here. Amen. You wore out, come on to church anyway. Tired, come on to church. You may not feel like standing or lifting your hands, come on anyway. Come on to the house of the Lord. There's something invigorating and something strengthening and edifying about getting with the people of God in the church that can lift you up. How many times have you come into the house of the Lord feeling so depleted, so worn out, and you didn't have anything to offer, but you come into the presence of the Lord, and before you realize it, you're being stirred, you're being encouraged, you're being blessed by the people of God, edified by the people of God and by the presence of God. So I'm just saying, if you don't feel like coming to church, if you can get here, come on. Amen. I remember Brother Huff talking about Sister Hyla Stillings, who came to church no matter what, as long as she was able, and so much so that at one point, she had lost her hearing. She couldn't really even hear what was going on in the service, but she came faithfully every service. And someone said, well, why would she be so determined to be in church when she can't even hear what's going on? And Brother Huff said, atmosphere. She feels it. She may not hear it, but she can feel it. She knows the presence of God, and she can sense the presence of God. And so even in her elder years, when she couldn't really physically glean everything that you think that you could get in the house of the Lord, she was determined to get here. As a matter of fact, if her ride didn't arrive on time to get her here, she would strike out walking. And folks would see her walking down the highway and pick her up and bring her on to church, because she was determined to get here in the presence of the Lord. Amen. May her tribe increase. Amen. Folks who love the house of the Lord and love the presence of God. Why? Why is it so wonderful? Why is it so important? Well, I think from our text here we can get a little insight. The Bible says that they're under persecution, they're facing the threat of the Jewish council, and their response was to run to their own people. It says they went to their people, went to their own company. What did they do? They went to their home church. They went to their own group there in Jerusalem that were saved. And by that time, that church was really, really growing. And they reported all that was going on with them, what the chief priest and the elders had said to them, all the threatening against them. And it says, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and they prayed. Hallelujah. Amen. What do you do when you're burdened down? You bring it to the church. You bring it to the house of God, and you let the people of God know, I'm in need today, or my family's in need, or we're really going through it, and we need help, and would you pray for us? That's why we have prayer times in every service, and a Wednesday night prayer meeting, and a Monday night prayer meeting, so that you can bring your needs, so the people of God can gather around you and pray with you about your needs. Amen. Prayer sets everything apart. Some things will never happen unless the church prays. Some things will never take place unless we seek the Lord and pray. Of course, we have a big emphasis on prayer in our Wednesday night service. This month, it has been 2 years since we started a Monday night prayer meeting. And if you remember, that was election year and a lot of things. Pandemic was underway and a lot of troubling things going on in our world. And so we felt like we need to have this Monday evening prayer meeting to pray for our country, to pray for revival, to pray for a move of God. At first, we had big numbers of people coming, sometimes 20-some, 30, 30-some a few times. Even other people from the community came that weren't even a part of this church. They came and they prayed with us. Now, those numbers have waned. It's got smaller and smaller and smaller. And I know there's just a few that gather in on Monday night, but some of you need to come to prayer meeting. Amen. You need to come and help us pray, because when the church prays, things take place. Things change. God moves when people pray, when the church gets together and prays together. Amen. In Acts chapter 12, you read the account about another time a little bit later on of great persecution. It says that Herod stretched forth his hand to vex the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And then it says, because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. James has been executed. Peter is next. I mean, he is on death row. And he saw that the Jews were happy at the execution of James. And so he's arrested Peter, and he's getting ready to do the same thing for him. But the Bible says, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Amen. Thank God for a church that prayed Peter out of prison. It saved him from execution. It was different for Peter because the church prayed. There's a lot of things that are not going to happen if you don't pray about it. And there's some things that won't take place if we don't, as a church, unite together in prayer. There is great power that God will move and work through if the church will gather together and pray. You're right. Amen. You're right. It's the truth. It's the truth. I remember as a child going to prayer meetings and having to sit on the pew beside my mother. I was young and my brothers were young, and my mom would take us into an early prayer meeting. I don't remember what day it was, Tuesday, Wednesday morning, whatever. The ladies met for prayer, and we had to sit still and be still the whole hour while the women prayed. And I was miserable sitting there as a little kid while my mom and the other ladies were praying. Now, when I look back, I realize that their prayers have probably carried me through some tough times. Their prayers probably saved me from a lot of bad mistakes and bad decisions that they prayed. And that when the church prays together, oh, it makes quite a difference. It really does. Have you ever thought of it this way? Your prayers are literally prophetic. They're prophetic. I gave out a little list, little sheet, so that you can write down a list of needs Wednesday night. And some of you didn't get one, and I can provide one for you if you didn't get one. But when you make a list of prayer requests and needs, you're praying for this one that's not saved. You're praying for this one that's sick. And you make a list of these various needs. It's really prophetic, because you can look at that list 2 months, 3 months, 6 months down the road and look back on it. And you've had this experience. I've had this experience. I'll look back at the list and say, my, look at what the Lord has done. In this situation, that person has got saved, or this person has been healed, or God's worked out this situation. So in a sense, your prayers and your prayer meeting is prophetic. You're praying about what you believe God can do and will do as we join together in prayer. Praise God. Amen. You don't know what, you know, half of this year is gone. We're now into the second and the last half of 2022. I don't know what next month holds what's going to happen these next few months, but I do know that there's some things we can do about it. We can pray about it. And those prayers are prophetic. If you pray about it, God can move. And we tend to spend our time complaining about all the things that are happening in our world, in our country, around us, when we need to commit it all to prayer and believe that God can move supernaturally. Amen. Praise God. The Bible says, and when they prayed, this is in our text, and when they prayed, the place was shaken. That's some pretty powerful praying people there. When they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. This is the same crowd, no doubt. Many of them were filled with the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. But now they're being filled again. Because, you know, we have a tendency to leak out, don't we? We have a tendency to lose. And we need to be stirred and refilled. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. They didn't quieten down and say, Lord, protect us from all of these that are threatening us. No, they were praying, Lord, give us the boldness so that when we go out that we can speak boldly, even in the face of all of the threatening and the persecution of this hour, give us the boldness to preach. Amen. Glory to God. Thank God for the church. It ought to be a place of prayer. Amen. It's important that we be here on Sunday morning. It's important that we're here on Sunday night. It's important that we're here on Monday night. It's important that we're here on Wednesday night, because there might be somebody walk in that door and they need someone to pray with them. They need someone to support them and to pray for them in their trying situation that they're in. We need to be here. We need to be here as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, praying together and believing God to do supernatural things. Another characteristic of this church that is so blessed, and that is that this church was united. They were in real unity. They were in real unity. It says in verse 32, the multitude of them that were... And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. One heart, one soul. Something about the moving of the Spirit and the outpouring of the Spirit blends people together, unites people together. You come into the church, all of us with different backgrounds, different families. We come together, and it is the moving of the Spirit of God that unites us together. Praise God. Amen. That word there, the one heart and the one soul, comes from a Greek word, homothermides. And the first part of the word means same. The last part of the word means temperature. And we get our word thermometer, from that Greek word, the same temperature. Amen. The same temperature. That's what the Spirit of God accomplishes in our lives. It causes us all to be moving in the same direction. We're all united with a common purpose. We have a common burden. We have a common sense of God's calling and direction for the local church. And we have the same temperature. Amen. The same desires and passion and thinking. They are all of one heart and one mind. Let me tell you, when the church is moving together, God can really do some wonderful things. When we're all scattered and going our own direction, church isn't going to get much accomplished. But when we unite together, the same desires, the same mindset, we combine together, we unite together in prayer, and the work of the Holy Spirit accomplishes this wonderful spirit of unity. Amen. The psalmist, Psalm 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment. There's something about it. It's compared to the anointing oil. Something about unity that brings an anointing into our lives. An anointing upon our worship, an anointing upon our prayer, anointing on our preaching, an anointing on our altar services. Something about unity that brings us together and gives us the anointing. Amen. It's like the precious ointment upon the beard that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. That was that early morning dew, really, which is like a description of the freshness of a new day. And so unity brings an anointing. Anointing brings a freshness to our walk with the Lord. Things are not stale and dead anymore, but every time we come to church, we expect that God is going to do something new and something mighty and something fresh. And we expect it and we believe that he's going to do some wonderful and mighty things in our midst. Praise God. And it says, for there, or in that spirit of unity, this is verse 3, for there the Lord commanded blessing, even life forevermore. Praise God. It's in that kind of a spirit that God commands the blessing. God says, I'm going to bless that people. They're united together. It's the Spirit of God that's brought them together and united them together. And they have a fresh anointing and a fresh touch of God that's upon them. And I'm going to command the blessing upon them, the blessing of the Lord, even life forevermore. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blessing of the church. Amen. And some of the characteristics of that blessed church is they know how to pray, and they know the importance of being in unity together, bound together in a spirit of unity. Amen. Glory to God. Then the next verse, verse 33. And then it says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus. Another quality of this blessed church is biblical, powerful preaching. Man. Glory to God. Preaching of the Word of God. It says with great, the Greek word is the word mega, and the word power is the word that was used in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, dunamis, with great mega power, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. Remember, these were disciples that were ignorant and unlearned. They weren't necessarily trained. They probably didn't have the best vocabulary and the best speaking ability, but they had the power of God resting upon them. There was such power upon them. Mega power is what it says, was upon them to such a degree that when they spoke, that there was transformation that took place. Amen. And Brother Charlie was talking about this morning, people, you know, preaching when he was younger, he was, you know, running around and jumping and hollering and spitting. And then you get older and you don't have as much ability to do all of that. You know what really makes the difference? It's just the steady presentation of the gospel, the steady preaching of the word of God, just continually, service after service. And to those in the world, they look at it as if, why would anybody go to church to listen to that guy preach all the time? Why would they do that? It's because they're of this world. The preaching of the cross to them is foolishness. But unto us, it is the power of God unto salvation. We recognize the emphasis and the importance of the word of the Lord. And so it doesn't have to be the most, you know, profound or the great talented speakers. It just requires the steady, continual presentation of the word of the Lord, the biblical preaching with the anointing of the Spirit of God. It impacts the lives of people. Amen. Oh, I've been blessed by it over the years. I really have. I've sat in those pews many times, maybe not these pews as much, but I've sat in the pew many of time under the preaching of the word of the Lord, and the direction of my life was changed. I was going this direction, and the Lord altered it through the ministry of the word of God. Amen. God blesses the church through just the continuing preaching of the word. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. That's what happens when God anoints the word of the Lord. Then the grace of God is poured out upon all the people. They are all blessed, and they are all touched by the ministry of the word of the Lord. Then these last verses that we read to you in the text today, then it says, neither was there any among them, verse 34, that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold. Now, nowhere in the text does it say that they were commanded to sell their property or their possessions and bring it and lay it at the apostles' feet. It's not commanded of them to do that. Many of them responded and saw needs, and so they sold some of their possessions. They brought what they had, because something had overwhelmed their heart. And that's another quality. It's the last one that I'll mention here of this church that is so blessed. And that is the generosity of the church. The church that is generous. Amen. I'm thankful that over the years that when I've stood up to receive an offering, maybe sometimes a special offering, that I've never had anyone complain to me. Now, you might have grumbled under your breath. I don't know. But I've never had anyone come up to me and complain, he takes too much offerings, or we don't want to give offerings all that much. But you've responded time after time after time. And this group of people have given generously, generously. That is the evidence of the blessing of the Lord upon his people and upon the church. That's the blessing of the church. That we can bind together and give generously, and we can accomplish some really wonderful things. I mean, how can we bless missionaries in 3 days of a missions conference with over $16,000? How do we do that? Well, it's just because everybody that's here gives and gives generously and pours out. They see the need and they want the gospel to go forth, and thousands of dollars are given. And then how is our missionary budget? Over $90,000 in this past fiscal year. How did that happen with this group of people? It happened because God is blessing through the local church. God is blessing through the local church, through your generosity and through your giving. And I understand the world has all their money, and there's the Elon Musk and all these people that have their billions, and I understand that. And sometimes I get a little frustrated when I hear about all these rappers that are worth millions and billions of dollars. It's incredible, isn't it? Because their music makes no sense. But yet they are making billions of dollars. Let me tell you, God keeps an account of what we do. We're not responsible for what the world does. He keeps an account of what we do through our generosity, through our giving, through our seeing of needs. And now many of you all, you see someone in need, and you'll just go and hand them a little piece of money. I've seen you do it. I know you do that. And you have generosity in your heart. That is the blessing of the church. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I am so thankful to be a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful to be a part of this local church in London, Kentucky, because I know that God blesses and helps us and provides for us and uses us in a lot of wonderful ways, and he'll continue to do so if we just look at God's word and see that there's some instructions for us. We need to pray. We need to be united together, bound together. We need to depend upon God. We need to depend upon the preaching and the proclamation of the word of the Lord. And we need to be a generous people who give to the work of God and to the needs of people. Praise God. Thank the Lord. Are you grateful for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Praise God. Praise God. Let's stand together and let's just take a moment just to thank God for what he can do through the ministry of the local church. Lord, we are grateful to you. Lord, we are not worthy, but we're just so thankful, Lord, that you have allowed us to be a part of the work of the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for lives that are affected, lives that are changed. Oh, God, thank you that you have blessed us to be a part of your church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. How do you get